Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 450th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trina Thatch, here today with my lamentable co-host, the fluffiest Whimsicott.
I don't know what there is to whine about, but whatever.
Yes. And then, of course, Linian.
I don't know what there is to whine about, but I'll find it.
Yeah. And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. The Royal Wii, by the way. The Royal Wii. Because it's mostly just me. But we talk everything here, Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between, whether that be Pokemon Conquest as per the usual, or even my Pokemon Ranch. Remember that? That was a thing.
Yeah.
I know it exists.
I'm just waiting for you to break out the Band of Thieves and 1,000 Pokemon.
Only came out in Japan, and it was weird, and it wasn't fun. The thing that I really... So, like, I learned this week, by the way, that Pokemon Box is absurdly expensive. Because I was like, you know what? I'm a Pokemon fan. I'm a collector, right? That's like the one thing missing from my collection. Also Pokemon Channel, but is it really missing? And so I was just looking into it. I'm like, well, how much would it cost to like go get me a copy of Pokemon Box for my GameCube, right? Pokemon Box Ruby and Sapphire. And the answer is roughly $1,000.
What?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was the lowest price I could. I think I found something for like $900. But like, yeah, it's absurd. If you want like
that
the
is insane.
Yeah, if you want an inbox, it's like $3,000 to $4,000.
Wow.
It's just because it was so like the release in the US was so limited.
Mm-hmm. Small printing.
Yeah, it was just such a small run that like so many of them just don't exist anymore.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's at some point I might do it. We'll see how desperate we get. If you subscribe to us on YouTube, there we go. That way I can justify it as a business expense.
If we get one subscriber, we'll buy.
We'll spend $1,000 on Pokemon Box Ruby and Sapphire for GameCube.
Then you have to actually play it on YouTube. You're aware, right?
Absolutely. I'll unbox it and like talk about my. I'll like screen grab me clicking the buy button on eBay. Like that's it'll be a journey. It'll be a journey. It's gonna be a time.
Mr. Beast, eat your heart out.
We're gonna buy Pokemon Box, and then we're gonna watch as Thatch takes all of his Game Boy games and like uploads the Pokemon to them to put them on one save. It'll be a time. Pokemon, yeah, I didn't realize how expensive it was. A few years ago, I don't think it was that expensive, but it's definitely risen in price. A lot of the old Pokemon games, I've been out of the market for used Pokemon games because, you know, I just don't sell them and I own them, right?
Mm-mm.
And so I was looking into it recently because people were talking about like buying Black and White 2 and all this other stuff. And they're like, yeah, it's like this much for the cart. And I'm like, huh, I don't remember it being that expensive. Maybe like $50, but I don't remember it being that expensive.
Yeah.
And I've looked into it. All of the DS games have just like shot through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, HeartGold, SoulSilver, you can probably pick up. Well, I think any DS game at this point, you pick up for like $90.
Wow.
It's like $90. It's crazy. Like, it's absurdly expensive now. I really hope that Nintendo tries to do something to remedy that. I would be really, well, not Nintendo, but TPCI, I should say, does something to remedy that. Mm-mm. It would be really cool to see some kind of like collection on the virtual console at some point, or
yeah,
the eShop. The virtual console doesn't exist anymore, but it'd be really cool to see something. But it's really hard to do the DS translation to the Switch, so I understand that being an issue. But even that, like, 3DS still kind of exists. Like, throw it up on the 3DS eShop randomly, you know? It can't be that hard to put, like, DS titles up.
Except the eShop is, like, it's...
It did shut down in a couple countries. The 3DS eShop shut down in a couple countries. That's true.
And it's not just shut down in some countries, but it's like now you can only pay with like Nintendo cards instead of your credit card or PayPal. Mm-hmm. It's slowly winding down.
Yeah, as it should. The only thing I'm like, because that's a lot of games that are just going to be like poof. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I like the eShop as a concept just because it kind of like kept all of their content evergreen. I understand with it might not be worth it to an extent for them, but I don't know. Like, if you left the lights on over there, I don't know how much like server maintenance is. So Thatch is uninitiated. Maybe somebody's an IT guy listening. Let me know how much server maintenance is you think for eShop. And I mean, but I could see like the trickle in from just like money being able to pay that or pay for that and probably a little bit more just for having like the games up for download, because that's a good way to maintain the maintain like the 3DS games prices and not make them go crazy wild.
Mm-mm.
Because I'm thinking of like X and Y and like Sun and Moon probably won't have the same demand in my opinion, but like X and Y, like I could see those games like following the same fate as like Heart Gold, Soul Silver and Black and White 2 and like shooting up to $90, $100 for a cart.
I mean, the question is just if that's something that they consider a worthwhile, priority or a value, you know? It's like, oh, our used games cost a lot. So?
Well, so they've kind of fought against that in the past a little bit. So, like, the example I want to use is the Wii U, which, you know, me and, like, three other people own. But what they did was Metroid Prime Trilogy. That game, like, is crazy expensive on the used market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to go buy it for the Wii, it's, like, I think it's, like, $100-some or something. So what they did is they re-released it on the Wii U on the Virtual Console, and they made it like $20.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Xenoblade was re-released as many times as it was.
Xenoblade, I feel like Xenoblade is just one of those games that like, it's like Skyrim for Nintendo, but the difference is, I like every time it comes out, I'm like, huh, maybe this will be the time I play it. And then
see,
I don't.
I bought it right before they announced the whole, like, updates and re-release things.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was going for, like, $50, $60 for used copy.
Yeah, yeah, no, Xenoblade's, like, a cult classic. That's the difference. Like, I think the same would go for a lot of GameCube games. Like, the big ones I'm thinking about, like, this is in the used game market, are just, like Path of Radiance.
Mm-hmm.
And even Pokemon Colosseum and XD right now, I think, as well. I think those have started to go up. And I mean, some of these discs are worth like $150, $200 now, and it's just insane. It's insane to think about it like that, and that's just because there's no way to replay them.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, it's literally leaving money on the table, in my opinion. Like, you could just come up with a way to emulate GameCube. Boom, Nintendo's going to be swimming in money, like up to their like we don't even need new games. Just release GameCube games. Just release GameCube games. That's all we want. That's all we want. But yeah, that wasn't a very Pokemon thing that I did this week, but I've been prepping for the next Nuzlocke for the YouTube channel.
Oh.
Yeah, well, because like what I like to do, one that's kind of part of this, because I was looking into like Heart Gold, Soul Silver prices online, because we're obviously like getting close to the end of the Fire Red run.
Mm-mm.
And so first, if you're a fan of that, by the way, what I'm going to do, because we're in a Nuzlocke in a version that's prior to Gen 6, so there is grinding involved before the Elite Four. And so I decided, instead of like making that like stupid, boring, like me hanging out with somebody for like 2 hours while we grind, instead of doing that, I've decided I want to do that on Twitch for like the YouTube Nuzlocke.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do that on Twitch, so like stay tuned for when that'll happen, but that'll happen probably on a Tuesday in the next week or two. We'll just like pop in on Twitch with the Nuzlocke and just to do some grinding, and then we'll stop before we're ready for the Elite Four, and then we'll post the VOD obviously to YouTube, so there's like still that continuity. But I just wanted to do that on Twitch because then like my partner's the Twitch chat, you know, instead of one of you guys. And then we're gonna jump into like Heart Gold, Soul Silver. So like I've been playing, I started just playing through Soul Silver again, just so I can remember where all of the Pokemon are and what our options are, so that I can, because that's how I did the Fire Red one. Fun fact, I did a playthrough of Leaf Green on my own prior to it.
Isn't it just easier to pull up Cerebi or something?
So like you can do that. I just like having that knowledge in my head.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
I like having that to pull from, and like those aren't bad games to play. And it's not like oh man, I'm forcing myself to play Soul Silver. No, I want to play Soul Silver. Like that's what's happening.
Of course.
Yeah, like it's not like oh man, I've got to play this Pokemon game. I hate Pokemon. Says the guy running a Pokemon podcast. Yeah, like that's not happening. I've just been doing that because like for the next Nuzlocke I want to do that. So we'll actually I don't know how we're gonna choose a starter. I kind of just want to do a poll. And then see how we do it from the, like maybe like a Twitter poll or something. And then the other thing I want to start that I meant to do with this run, but I never got off the ground was I really want to do a Twitch Nuzlocke at the same time in the opposite version.
Ooh.
Huh.
So like we have the YouTube Nuzlocke going, but at the same time you can come in to Twitch on Tuesdays and you can play a Nuzlocke in the same game essentially and make changes. And the last time we did it for the charity stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over very well.
It was so much fun.
I think part of it was the charity stream, but it was also just very fun getting everybody together for that. And like we got, I mean, there's a lot of memes, a lot of jokes. And so I really like keeping those kind of things like into the Twitch one.
Yeah.
That way the community can get even more hyped over it. So yeah, on that note, though, I would ask you guys which we're doing, but you let me talk for too long. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to the news.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. The news today is actually really kind of light. So first of all, if you're listening right now, it's already over. There's a shiny Wailord event in Sword and Shield right now for raids. So that's something. Mm-hmm. You know what made that better? They bring the Wailord back to Isle of Armor. That'd be cool.
Yes.
Just let him. I'm disappointed that it's gone because like it's just like a really cool set piece. I'm gonna be completely honest.
When you said it would leave if I touched it, I just never touched it. So
yeah, I'm disappointed. I thought it would come back.
Yeah, that would make sense, right?
I'm disappointed that it didn't come back. I'm very disappointed.
I knew, I wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have touched it either. I would love for it just to come back and like once a month or something. Don't even have to do anything crazy.
Yeah, like, it should come back like, I don't know, maybe not once a month, but once every 3 months.
I just hope it comes. Well, if it's every 3 months, that could still be a thing. I'm doubtful, though.
I doubt it. I mean, if anything, they would have made it once a month.
But in terrifying news, I don't know if this is good news or bad news. One, the trading card game has just implemented its own version of max raid battles.
I can't even.
Okay, so what's even worse is like the execution of it is even worse. Like you would think, oh man, they're doing it to sell product, right? They aren't selling product. It is all, you go to Pokemon.com and it's like a print off of like the raid bosses and everything. It's really weird. And like you have to like use a random number generator on their website to like have the raid boss pick the attack and who it's going to hit. And it's very weird.
I'm so sorry that you can't see my face right now. I am the embodiment of just being perplexed.
Yeah, it's weird and dumb.
They stole this from Magic the Gathering, but they only tried it once back in 2014. They had this thing where they were giving out this card called Garruk the Slayer, and it was itself as powerful as a deck. So one person would play this one card against multiple people trying to play against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very fun, and it was kind of a mistake, and they never did it again. And it looks like Pokemon saw that and went, what if we made that worse?
I was just really surprised because like I get the emails from like the press releases and everything, and like I got that email and I'm just like, what are we talking about and why is this happening? And it is just straight up like I don't even know how to explain it. I just can't explain it. I can't explain it whatsoever. It's very weird and dumb. It's just very dumb.
We let the playtesters work from home and they came up with this and no one knew how to say no.
And what's worse is you still need like three friends to play it with you and they're just like, do it in person. And it's just like, who are we playing with? who are we playing with? Like, it's just such a weird thing that we didn't need. It's like when they tried to do double battles in TCG for a hot minute. That was a thing for that was a thing before like the official circuit started and everything. It was it was like right after TPCI like reclaimed the TCG. They're just like, yeah, we have double battles now. And it was just as horrible as you think. it did not work out.
I bet.
Yeah. But it was a double battle rule, and it was very weird. You could do four people like matches too that way too. Like you'd have two people partner up. It was a time.
Two-headed giant, basically.
Yeah.
Two-headed legendary, I guess.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, they definitely found out like how to do it, like how to fix the Pokemon trading card game and make it its own thing. But I feel like they're just trying to push too hard. Like this would have honestly been better as product. Mm-hmm. I would love it as product. I think it's a very cute idea for product, and you could just like put it out. But the way they're doing it is just like, but why? But why?
I don't know.
What are you doing, Papa Nintendo?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing either. I think they're just like, let's make people want to still play the TCG, even though we have no real person events. Yeah. Which is the only way we sell it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next one is the video game battling news that Whimsicott's got.
Yeah, I do. They have announced the next online competition. It's called Armor Beginnings. It's a single battle event where players can only use Pokemon in the Isle of Armor Pokédex. Registration is open until July the 23rd, and the event runs on the weekend, July 24th to July 26th. Everyone who participates receives 50 battle points.
I like these metas. I like these limited metas.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing that I'm most sad about with like the lack of a national dex, is that we can no longer have all of these fun metas.
Yeah.
Because that was like the one thing they did a lot of in Sun and Moon. It'd be like, yeah, if your Pokemon's classified as green, blue, and purple in the Pokedex, you can use them this time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I want stuff like that. And the thing is, you can't do it when you have a limited number.
Exactly.
What I like about this is that while it's limited to the Isle of Armor decks, it's not stuff that was new to the Isle of Armor.
Yeah, there's still some old stuff. Mm-mm. Or old, in quotes.
So if you have, you know, a team of other things, you can still play without buying the DLC. Cool.
Yeah, and even then, the thing that I liked most that they've handled well in this DLC is that you can still, like, invite people to your raids.
Mm-hmm.
Your Isle of Armor raids. Like, somebody who doesn't have the DLC can still jump in to my Scissor raid, for example. And that's something that I think is often overlooked. I don't know. I think it's a really cool way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. I think it almost adds in the Pokemon through raids, as should have been the case the entire time, but it's really cool. The thing that it really befuddles me beyond anything else is that VGC like rotated this month, right? And they just started allowing the Swords of Justice. And you can't catch them in this gen. Not yet.
Weird.
Not yet. You can get them. You'll probably be able to get them in Crown Tundra, but it's just very weird that they're in the game and they're just like, yeah, they're legal now.
Yeah.
But just can't get them. It's so strange. It's weird. I honestly think like the more and more that these things happen, the more and more I just believe Dexit was a scramble move. And like, it's honestly the way I feel about a lot of it. It's just like Dexit was a scramble move. 100%. They're just trying to cover. Especially with like the Crown Tundra leaks for the Pokedex that we got as well, but that's for another day. Mm-hmm. That's for another day. I guess we get to go to Pokemon Go now, right? Like,
yeah. Yep.
Okay, it's Pokemon Go time. Yeah.
Uh huh. Fantastic. Ooh. Pokemon Go Fest lead-in week. Week 3 that started. It's got a focus on friendship and runs until the 22nd.
Yep.
So, like, the middle of the week. Hope you're listening to this on Monday for that to be relevant.
I don't know. I don't know what... Our numbers show that it's mostly on Monday. People listen on Monday and Tuesday. And then there's a random bump on Friday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Time to research introducing Petalil and Alolan Raichu is going on. summer-themed Pokemon in the eggs and wild, including Bellsprout, the most summery of Pokemon. Can't think of Bellsprout without thinking of summer, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a flower, kind of.
It's kind of a flower. Additional special spawns during Go Fest if 1 million players complete it for each team.
Yay. I don't know how it's been going so far, and I haven't been playing. I'm going to be completely honest.
My conspiracy theory is that they're just trying to have this be, have people use the team switch to, like, slowly even it out so it's not quite as 100% one team as it's been for the past little bit.
It's been better, I think. It shifted, recently. It went from, like, blue team being, like, the biggest one, and then it shifted to yellow team for a little bit. It's a weird distribution.
There was never a gym that wasn't blue at my university campus, ever.
Blue was the most popular for, like, the longest time, and that's honestly...
Oh, no, I'm talking about last week.
It's still possible that you have, like, pockets of that still, obviously. But then I think you have people who are joining up later, and they're realizing, oh, yellow's the underdog, and then, boom, it's now no longer the underdog. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because we are trendsetters.
Yes. Yeah, yes. That is the word. It's just interesting. Now, the coin is literally, I think it literally exists because you went and you joined a team before, and then you met friends who were a different color team, and you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why it exists. It's so when Sublime inevitably changes his mind, like, he can come back. Speaking of Niantic, I didn't, but... Niantic makes Pokemon Go. They started rolling out a remote raiding with friends, where you can invite up to like 5 friends, regardless of distance, to a raid near you, which is the way that Pokemon Go should be played.
Mm-mm.
And in my opinion, this should have happened from day one, but whatever. And currently, I think it's P. McGee has it written as level 40 players, but I think it's been lowered already.
Yeah, to 35 because I got it. It's down to 35, and I'm 35.
Yeah, so we can invite now, so it's much better. So it's really cool. I'm happy with the feature. I wish my friends would stop blowing up my text messages about it, but that's fine. that's fine. Hi, Mark. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Leave him alone.
Not leave me alone. We have a group text with like all the people that play Pokemon together. Coincidentally, we also all play D&D together. So it works out, but it's a time. I guess there's a couple more things, and I'll let you read them, Whimsicott.
Yeah, okay.
So, they're so exciting.
Right? Apparently, if you have a Samsung phone, you just log into Pokemon Go and get a special outfit. Cannot verify. Wow. I tried it. I have a Samsung phone. Maybe it's not implemented yet. I don't know. Mm. And then, if you have an Ultra Buddy, now, in the lead-up to the Pokemon Go Fest, it can find you a rare Pikachu visor.
None of that's exciting.
Right?
none of that's exciting. Yeah, that's Pokemon Go for you, though, and that's the news this week, because we are running out of things to talk about, says Pokemon. We just had that Pokemon Unite game come out, and we were hoping people would still talk about it.
Ugh.
And they are.
They are. Just not positively. Any press is good press.
They're talking about it for the right reasons, which are not the reasons the Pokemon Company wants you to talk about it for.
Yes. But yeah, this is a good place to swap it over, though. So that's the news. We are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz now, where we are going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, Whimsicott and Lenny are going to be operating as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions provided by you on our Discord server. You have to go to Discord and go to the hashtag trivia submissions channel, and you can submit your trivia questions there. And one of our helpers, whoever that is at this point, I don't know, Ribby is unfortunately going back to school. Well, I guess fortunately for him, he's going back to school. And he's got, like, he took, like, an insane number of credit hours. Like, 27.
It's ridiculous. I love you, Ribby, but why?
Yeah. Ribby, come on, man. He was also playing his support druid in our D&D group, and now he's gone. So we'll see how that goes.
Laughs nervously in Meat Shield.
So we'll see how that goes. But yes, that is where we are with that. So today we have P. McGee back up bringing us trivia questions. We'll probably start poking at people in the trivia section. If you want to put together, curate trivia questions for us, we're all for it. Reach out to us. Just send me a DM or something. Poke me, like on Facebook. But yes, five questions, each worth 1 point apiece, except for the one that's not. That's the correct answer, right? And so, except for the one that's not, if you want to, you can just jump into whatever there. But yes, we are going to go into it. And they do have a hint they can use as a lifeline. If they get all the questions correct without the hint, they can get 7 points today. They're in a race to see who can get to 30 first, which is probably going to be Whimsicott because she has 27 right now. And so let's go ahead and jump right on into it, though. Our
you
first
can.
Question is from...
You can't.
Wait,
you can't.
What? Oh, yeah, I can't because if she wins, she gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com, which they don't have in Italy.
Yeah.
Fun fact. And then second, if your question is read in the trivia segment, you can also get a $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all of your anime needs. So I guess that's going to happen. We're going to have to do that raffle next week. We'll announce the winner next week. So without further ado, let's jump right on into it. Our first question is from That One Boy You Know. Not counting regional variants, which region has the most Pokemon with multiple forms?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Gender differences don't count.
Okay. Multiple forms.
Would they count if it's like Meowstic?
Yeah.
No, that's a gender difference, though.
It's kind of a form, though. It's a form,
But it's a form. Okay. Okay, fair.
It doesn't affect the answer. I'll give you that one for free, so.
Okay. So,
it's not Gen 1. It's not Gen 2.
No.
3.
No.
Probably not 4. 5?
5 is quite a bit because there's technically Kyurem, the Genies, Keldeo, Meleta.
Oh, right.
5
is. Do the Arceus forms count individually?
Oh. Well, but the question is not which generation has the most forms, because otherwise you have to count Unown for Gen 2,
yeah,
and Gen 2 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to count Spinda, and then Gen 3 wins.
Okay, then Gen 3 wins.
The question is which generation has the most Pokemon that have different forms.
So 5 has all of those. Does it have anything in the... I guess it has Darmanitan in the normal ones as well.
Yeah, so that's 5. That's quite a lot. Then we have... Let's go backwards because this has become more and more frequent. So, Gen 8 has...
technically Cramorant. Cramorant, technically more Pekko.
And Poltegeist. Mm-hmm. Technically.
And Sinistee.
So that would be 4.
Before, but I think that's also kind of Zacian, Zamazenta, and I guess kind of Eternatus make 7.
Yeah, I suppose if you count it as if it's not, it is technically a form, so that's 7. Generation 7 has
Necrozma,
Oricorio, Meteor, technically,
yep,
and
Lycanroc.
Yes.
Going through the decks in my head. Silvally.
Yes.
I'm going to need an answer, guys.
Oh, shoot.
You literally have a 1 out of 8 chance shooting in the dark.
I think we say 5, I think.
I think we went over counting for Gen 8, though.
Okay.
So it's one of those two. I just don't know which one.
I'm going to say that the question, the meta here, is that they want us to not think of just the newest one, so I say 5.
I suppose.
But I will leave it to you.
I don't know. Again, if all the ones you mentioned count, then Gen 8
wins, need an answer.
Like 7 to 5.
Okay, Gen 8. We'll say Gen 8.
Gen 8 is incorrect. The answer is Gen 5. You have Basculin, Darmanitan, Deerling, Sawsbuck, Tornadus, Thunderous, Landorus, Kyurem, Keldeo, and Meloetta.
Okay, so we forgot the deer.
You forgot the deer. You forgot the deer.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
The Pokemon, okay. I don't know how they're ever going to handle Deerling again. I don't like how they handle Deerling in general. Like, I think Jen's
answer so far is no.
Yeah. All right. So that's their answer with Pokemon of multiple forms so far has just been kind of like, let's not. Mm-hmm. let's just not do that if we can't, because models are hard.
Yeah.
So next question, I guess we'll do from Enharmonia. Excluding event distribution, what is the only Generation 1 move that is still exclusive to a single Pokemon?
Hmm.
Wow. Excluding event distributions.
Can you think of anything else that gets Kinesis?
No. No, I can't.
Single Pokemon, not a line.
Ooh, oh, okay. Single Pokemon. Huh.
Hmm.
Does Mewtwo get something weird?
I don't think you're gonna get this one. This one's hard.
That's not Psystrike, but that one didn't come until way too long.
Okay.
And it was a move introduced in Gen 1, right? It wasn't like I'm talking Dragon Hammer.
Okay, so something about the Executor line?
No, because does anything? No, because other things get Barrage now.
Okay, and Egg Bomb too?
Well, Chansey.
Okay. Whew.
Porygon line gets...
You do have the hint.
We do.
You know what? We're not going to get that point. Let's just cash the hint in.
This is a dual-type Pokemon that got a baby form in Generation 2.
Okay.
I guess I won't ask you what the move is, but...
Oh, is it Lovely Kiss?
Maybe. But then it's a single Pokemon, and the entire line gets it. So
I don't think because I don't think Smoochum gets Lovely Kiss. I think it's just Jinx.
Smoochum does get the Kiss moves. It gets at least Sweet Kiss, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Sweet Kiss has always been widely distributed. I don't know about
exactly. So maybe it is Lovely Kiss.
Well, what other dual types got babies? Because I can't think of anything that Jigglypuff has that's.
Okay, so technically Jigglypuff is a dual type, yes. But I don't think Jigglypuff has any exclusive moves. So yeah, maybe we can go with Lovely Kiss.
I can't think of anything else, so I'll go
Me
with Lovely
neither.
Kiss.
Lovely Kiss is correct.
Huh.
Lovely Kiss on Jinx is the only Pokemon that can learn it. It was technically in the game data for Smoochum in Generation 2 as an egg move, but there's no way to obtain it.
Oh.
And as such, it's actually been removed from Smoochum's move pool afterwards.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there you go. You're one for two. You still have a couple more points there you need, Whimsicott.
Yeah.
So this next one is your Pokedex entry, as always. And this next
right,
one
I'll
is
pull out the random number generator.
Is this one is from Rymurf. It's Pokemon Shield entry states, scales shed by this Pokemon have such a splendorous gleam to them that they've been given to royalty as gifts. Who's that Pokemon? I apologize. Scales shed by this Pokemon have such splendorous gleam to them that they've been given to royalty as gifts. Who's that Pokemon?
Sounds like Milotic.
It sounds like Milotic, or it sounds like Kingdra, because of the dragon scale.
Mmm, and also Kings. That's such a good point.
But I think I like Milotic more.
Me too, because it has more colors.
And because the whole thing is about it being beautiful. So.
Yeah. Also, wait, technically, Kingdra is not in the Shield Pokedex. It's just in the Isle of Armor Pokedex.
No,
I think people are combining those, though.
Okay, yeah. Fine. I'm still leaning towards Milotic.
I think that would make sense. I'm gonna go with Milotic.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Melodic is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is going to kill you. Is Kingdra?
Is it Kingdra?
Come on.
The answer is going to kill you. I'm just trying to choose names that haven't been like on the show. Like I'm trying to like get those entries in. I apologize.
Well, you've got another week at least. So,
our next one is going to be from Bilingual. Both question options that P gave me are from him. these all actually have enough that you can get 3 points here to really wiggle you guys out of some trouble because you're 1 for 3 right now. So we can get to 4 for 4, like the Wendy's special. And so,
like, I know what that is.
It's a 4 for 4. You get a soda, a sandwich, 4-piece nugget, and fries. Four things for $4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It still comes out to like a gross amount of calories because even like the sandwiches are small, but I don't know how they do it, but they somehow pack 1,200 calories in there.
I mean,
mostly the soft drink.
Yeah, probably.
Bread and the salsa, the sauce, whatever you call it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. We'll take
condiments.
You to Wendy's next time.
That's what you call them.
All right, so this one has there are 5 answers. I only need 3, one per point.
Okay.
What 5 non-poison type damaging attacks can poison the opponent?
Twin needle?
Wait, he said non-damaging.
No. Non-poison type damaging. They are damaging.
Okay, non-poison type. Yes. Okay. So yes,
twin needle is correct. I'm going to give you 2 strikes and then you're out. Well, 3 strikes and then you're out. I guess is the name of the game. But yeah.
Is there something with like nature power when you're in a certain terrain or something?
I mean, we have 2 strikes. I say we say it.
Okay, nature power.
Not nature power, unfortunately. No.
Okay.
Toxic Orb Fling, would that count, Wims?
That does count. That is 2.
Oh, cool.
Need one more.
Can Butterfree poison with its max move?
Yes.
Yeah, then G-Max Befuddle.
That is correct. That is 3 points. The other two you're missing were Secret Power. It can do that when it's in the grass.
That's what
and
I'm
the
about.
Other one is G-Max Stun Shock.
Right, because that's poison or paralyze.
Yep. So yeah, you guys are 4 for 4 now. Whimsicott cross the finish line.
Okay, we did that. Now we just need an extra point for Linnea.
All
the
right.
Next leaderboard.
Question number 5. Okay, I'll let you guys pick. Do you want HDM 2000 or P. McGee?
P. McGee has no mercy. I'll take my chances.
I think you chose wrong, but okay.
Oh, no.
This is from HDM 2000. What not fully evolved Pokemon has the highest base speed?
Not fully evolved Pokemon highest base speed.
So Voltorb comes to mind.
It's pretty fast.
I can't think of anything faster.
Going down the line here. That one.
Does it mean not fully evolved wouldn't count single stagers, right?
No.
Not gonna be
no, those are technically evolved. Those are all fully evolved.
Oh, okay. Yes, right. Okay, cool. So what's something stupid fast that is stupid fast when it's tiny?
That's a good thought process.
So Ribombee is really fast. I don't think Cutiefly is faster than Voltorb. What is Voltorb's base speed? Do you know, Linian?
North of 100.
North of 100. Okay, that's a lot.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Voltorb's base speed is either if it's not 100, it's like 105. But yeah. We have to be beating 100 for it to be relevant.
Okay, with an unevolved Pokemon, that's a lot. So, I can't think of anything that got an evolution afterwards that was that fast, because, like, Electabuzz is not that fast.
No, it's not.
It's base 95, I found out.
Voltorb?
Thank you.
No. Electabuzz.
This one?
Electabuzz.
Oh, okay.
I found that out because we used him in the Nuzlocke. Well, and I was like, wow, he's speedy. And then I realized he had a decent base speed.
Yeah. You know what? I just realized Galarian Lanoon now counts.
Ooh.
And it has a base 100 as well. So unless it's a tie.
Ooh. Right.
I am going to need an answer.
I think Voltorb may edge it out.
I trust you.
I'll say Voltorb.
Voltorb is incorrect. The answer is Sneasel.
Oh!
Sneasel
right.
has a base 115 speed. Voltorb has a base 100.
Oh.
Sneasel,
yeah, it was a Gen 2 Pokemon that I got an evolution afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think of Sneasel.
Sneasel.
I thought Sneasel had a 95.
No, Sneasel's a speedy guy. He can't do anything else. He can go fast. He'll tap you on the shoulder real fast.
Yeah.
He won't do much else.
I used one in draft. I really should have known that one.
Sneasel is Sneasel's there otherwise. But yes, that gives you guys 4 points today. So that crosses the finish line for Whimsicott and resets the leaderboard. Currently in first place, we have Linian with 4 points. Everybody else has yet to get on the board.
That was easy.
Yay! And then, like I said, next week we will announce the winner of that $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com. All right. On that note, though, guys, we are going to kick it on over to the topic after Future Me reads you an iTunes review. We will kick it on over, though, to the topic.
Hi, Future Touch.
This week we have a review from CastBox from IronWalk75. Absolutely amazing podcast. Great balance of all aspects of Pokemon. Amazing host and varying co-host. Well made. Absolutely my favorite podcast of all time. Well, thank you for that. If you too have a review for the podcast, drop it wherever you listen to it. iTunes, CastBox, wherever you want. And we definitely read it and we definitely appreciate all of that and it helps people find the show. So let's keep on growing together. But until then, let's kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be how age influences our perception of Pokemon,
We'll come up with a better title for the episode.
When this is published, it'll have a better title. I'm absolutely certain of that. But our diving board today is going to be that. The idea is the three of us were all born. We're actually pretty well spaced out in terms of ages.
Mm-mm.
And so we all have different perceptions of the franchise.
You can say how old I am. I say it all the time.
I'm not young. It depends on who you talk to.
Let's give the people some numbers. I have like 9 years on you, and you have like how many years on Linian?
Probably seven.
Eight?
Seven?
Yeah.
Seven or eight.
Probably seven.
Yeah.
I think you're about the same age as my brother.
That gives me no information, so sure.
I have a brother that I never talk about on the show. Well, I think I do, literally just to say I'd never talk about him on the show. I have a much younger brother. We have a 7 year age gap. He was born in 1997. I was born in 1991.
Okay, so yeah, 7 years then.
But he was born at like right at the end of 1997, so it's a weird thing. It's one of those things where like you have a brother, but like, do you really have a brother because you're 7 years apart?
I have one sibling. This is not something that I connect with.
I have one sibling. We get along because we have the same parents. Like, we're stuck in that, like, familial group together. So, like, that's why we interact with each other. If that makes sense. Like, that's mm-hmm. our connection. Is like, yeah. Yes, we share a gene pool. Yes. And that's kind of like the extent of where we go. Pokemon, though, is something that probably different, because one, I was definitely like target demo when it came out in 1998 in the US.
By far.
They wanted kids that were like 8 to 12, you know, to jump in and like play Pokemon, and I was 8 when it came out. I remember very vividly. Pokemon was the second video game I ever purchased, or ever had in my, like, the first game I had was, you can buy this on the eShop, by the way, on the 3DS, and I did, mostly because I'm a sucker for nostalgia. I am somehow
Pokemon
a
fan.
Yes. I'm a 90s kid, so like I write BuzzFeed articles that only reference Rugrats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it was Super Mario Brothers Deluxe for the Game Boy Color. And it's on the eShop on the 3DS, so I bought it. Like, my first video game of all time is like best video game of like 1983. And then the next game I got was Pokemon Blue, back when you still bought video games based on the cover art.
Yeah.
Because that's how I did it. Because, like, my parents were like, yeah, we'll buy another game. And, like, you go to the store and, like, you look at the art, you look at the cabinet with the games, and they're just like, that one looks cool.
Yeah.
That turtle looks like he could punch someone in the face.
In the face. Yes. Maybe one day they'll put a wrist cannon on him and he'll punch somebody in the face. That was exactly my thought process. The cover art for Red and Blue version was really cool, though, I will admit.
It was very dynamic, especially the red one. Mm-hmm.
I found out recently, I was looking into why do they switch it to blue, because what happened in Japan, for those of you unaware, it was Red and Green came out, obviously, like Red and Green. They had very poopy sprite art. Very poopy sprite art.
It was not good.
It was not good. And there were like a lot of, we think of Red and Blue, and we're just like, yeah, those games had bugs. And then it's just like, imagine that, but more bugs. You get Pokemon Red and Green that it came out in 1996 in Japan. And so what they did is they went ahead and they fixed it, and they came out the third version called Blue Version in Japan. They updated the sprites, tidied up the coding a little bit so it was a better experience overall. Mm-hmm. And so what we actually got here in the US is we got Pokemon Blue, but with the encounter tables of Red and Green.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we got. And they switched it, I found out, from Green to Blue in the US because they thought it would sell better as a blue version instead of a green version, because that's the color of the American flag. Fun fact.
Powerful.
That's they might not have been wrong in the 1990s, so
I don't think they were. It's just impressive.
Yeah. That was the thought process that I read, is they switched it to blue version because of that thing that Whimsicott and I reference all the time between each other in private. The exit obviously really affected me, and the iTunes reviews will tell you that. We were talking about it, and I'm just like, well, I think I'm affected a bit more because I have Pokemon brain. And she's like, oh, haha, what a joke. And then I showed her a research paper.
Yeah.
There's a research paper. This exists, by the way. This is like a 100% real, like, somebody got funding to do this. They did CAT scans of people who grew up playing Pokemon, and they took CAT scans of people who grew up not playing Pokemon. And there were different consistent difference in activations of brain regions. If you grew up with Pokemon, your brain is wired differently than somebody who didn't play Pokemon.
Isn't that just amazing?
Isn't that crazy? And so Whimsicott was obviously older. She was like in her late teens, early adulthood when the game came out, right?
Yeah.
And so like she didn't have the opportunity to like get her brain rewired like mine.
Exactly. all the rewiring that was done to my brain is that now whichever like fantasy setting we're in, I think the type chart of Pokemon applies to it.
Yes. Yes, that makes sense.
It's like, oh, of course Kakashi is going to win against something that uses a water chakra.
Oh no, it's an ancient red dragon. Grab a rock.
Exactly.
I don't think that's wrong to think about, though. Mostly because I think Pokemon's inspired pop culture to that extent.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Who was I was watching somebody, because like if you watch if you look at just like the history of like Saturday morning cartoons, RIP, by the way, I miss you, Saturday morning cartoons. I feel it in my soul. But if you look at the history of Saturday morning cartoons and you look at what Saturday morning cartoons were pre and post 1998, you see the influence of Pokemon hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that I feel bad about being a Pokemon fan for, because I made that happen, and there was some good stuff pre-1998, okay? There was some good stuff. Like, Doug and Recess, and, like, a lot of that just got poof. Because what we ended up getting was just, like, a bunch of Pokemon clones. Like, I think a really good example of that is Mega Man NT Warrior. Where there's, like, you gotta catch all the abilities, Mega Man!
I love that you didn't even mention Digimon.
Digimon's different. I think Digimon's, because Digimon was one of those things, I don't think it was purely a copycat of Pokemon. Digimon came out in the exact same year as Pokemon.
Yeah.
It came out in 1996. It was just like one of those, like, yeah, we both thought having monster pets was cool.
Okay. Okay.
And they have some pretty big differences. Like, Digimon has a good anime.
Yes, a much better anime.
Fair, fair. That was really good.
They're doing another one right now, by the way. It's called it's Pokemon, or not Pokemon, Digimon Adventures 2020. It's like a retelling of Digimon Adventures. It's apparently really good, because like they're not just retelling the story part for part. And they're not retelling the story part for part. It's like a retelling, a reimagining, and like there's new scenes and stuff in it. It's crazy.
But if you call it Digimon Adventures 2020, it just seems like it's going to go post-apocalyptic real soon.
I mean, it was Digimon. That was kind of the plot.
Digimon Adventures in general went post-apocalyptic. So I would even argue Digimon Tamers.
Oh, Digimon Tamers was a nightmare fuel incarnate. I love it.
Yeah, okay, we're not a Digimon podcast yet, but...
No,
yet.
But, like, you get a lot of stuff like that. Like, a lot of things like that popped up. Like, I think... I'm thinking of, like, all the shows that lasted, like, one or two seasons that just had, like, Pokemon vibes because they were just trying to cash in on, like, the gotta catch them all. The thing that really caught my eye was more recently, I should say, is Yo-Kai Watch. Because if you watch the Yo-Kai Watch TV show, it's 100% like the feeling of a lot of those knockoff Pokemon shows. Like, another one's like Metabots. That was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where it's like, you got to catch all the parts to make your Metabot.
Yeah.
Which is probably more inspired by like something like Robopon. But that's a different.
Oh, no. Metabots is 100% a Pokemon ripoff, especially if you go and play the game. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not even close.
Pokemon did was they made cute Pokemon that tied into like a really good gotta catch them all mechanic, and they actually had a well thought out list.
Yes,
I think that has been and always will be Pokemon's strength.
Yes, they actually managed to like have a Pokemon for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between Pokemon and pretty much anything else that's tried to come after it. Because like Digimon, they're just like, oh, they're all cool monsters. And then you've got other things. Oh, these are cool robots, you know? And it's just like, yeah, but you don't have like Psyduck.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no like Psyduck equivalent in any
There's
of these.
There's no room for like the dorky one. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have like dorky ones and you don't, cause you only made up 75 of them. And you tried to hide it by not giving them numbers. I mean, that's the real answer. Like that's what they did. They just tried to hide it and not give them numbers.
Wow.
Whimsicott and I have had the discussion that all of my favorite Pokemon are the weird memes, and yeah, I don't like them because they're memes. I just like them because it's like, you're a giant palm tree and you're a dragon. I love you.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I didn't mean to like go off on like the Saturday morning cartoon tangent, but
no, it's cool. It's cool. So you too have Pokemon brain. I just
You don't have Pokemon brain.
No, yeah. I don't. I just think Kakashi should win against flying types. But
the oldest one here.
I mean, I also got into Pokemon not starting with the game.
Yeah.
Because actually, the reason I like Pokemon is that... So I'm not even going to try and make it like, oh, I only watched cartoons when I was 17 because I have much younger siblings and I was like watching them in the afternoon after school and they were watching... No, I was watching cartoons when I was 17.
Yeah, and, okay. I watched Power Rangers like now. Like, I'm an adult. Yeah.
So
he's a physics doctorate. He loves Power Rangers. It's fine.
Exactly.
Power Rangers has just got such a fun lore, but that's for a different day.
There was this commercial for this new sensation, like everyone's talking about it, and I was like, okay, I'll mark it down and we'll check it out when it comes on in our, like, we don't have Saturday morning cartoons, we have afternoon cartoons in Italy.
We had that like, too.
Every afternoon on weekdays, you would get a container with several shows.
That's actually how Pokemon launched in the U.S.
Okay.
It wasn't initially a Saturday morning cartoon. So the network that had it was the WB at the time. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the CW, but they had it and they did. I dug into this like way too far, by the way. There's a wiki for this called like SaturdayMorningCartoons.wikia.com or something. It's nuts. Because Sigma and I were like reminiscing one day.
Wow.
And so like there's a wiki for this and we were digging into it. I'm just like, yeah, when did Pokemon like become when did it like really shift it, right?
Mm-mm.
So we were looking into it, and so Pokemon like started as just like the weekday cartoon. They just like dropped it into like their weekday schedule because one, you've got like 52 episodes in a season.
Yeah.
And so to actually get some out, you need to do weekday releases.
Yeah.
And then they got to the point where they were doing just like reruns on the weekdays, and then like the new one would be on Saturday, or two new ones would be on Saturday.
Okay, gotcha.
I didn't know that the CW was WB. I didn't know that
formerly.
The same...
You didn't formerly. Know?
No, I didn't know that the same people who ruined Archie Comics introduced me to Pokemon. I didn't...
That's why they like always had like the DC cartoons and stuff on the WB.
I mean, it makes sense now. It's just...
The same company is also like was in leagues with Cartoon Network. I don't know if they are anymore. That's why Pokemon left the WB and went to Cartoon Network. Mm. And then it went from Cartoon Network to Disney Plus because all hail Mickey Mouse.
Oh, goodness.
And now we're on Netflix, where it belongs.
Yeah, that's a bit better.
This is a very good home for it. I'm okay with Pokemon the anime being on Netflix. It's a very good home for it. Yes. Also, Whimsicott, you should watch it. It's good.
I probably will try. Yeah. Because honestly, everything I'm hearing about it, I love. Whereas you were all like, oh, you should watch the Alola one. And everything I was hearing about that, I was not into. But anyway. Mm. So we start watching the cartoons, me and my baby siblings. And the first episode is like, yeah, okay. No, this is kind of like... He's cute to the Pikachu when the Pikachu's in trouble. And then you see that Ho-Ho and, what's that going to be? That's kind of cool. And then, like, the next day, Team Rocket shows up and I was done. Like.
Yeah.
Like, I fell in love. Like, I.
Well, the anime came out before the games in the US, too. It's one of those things where it's like it happened so well. And it was such a product of its time as well. That it, because it was before the internet was proliferate. And so you didn't have people talking about like this really cool thing in Japan called Pokemon that you all knew about. Marketing was just great. Like I don't believe you'll ever have a band as successful as the Beatles.
Mm. Mm.
The Beatles, what they got to do is they got to spend 2 years in England, like figuring out which of their songs was good and which of them were bad. And then nobody in the US knew about them. They come over to the US in 1964 and they just like release like their best of when we were in the UK album called Meet the Beatles. All of those songs start chart topping because they were all of the good ones.
Yeah, it was essentially a greatest hits already.
And so it's exactly 100% what happened with Pokemon, I think. It was out in Japan. Okay. It got to work out the kinks. They're like, here the thing. Like, if they would have launched Red and Green, it would
have
been bad.
I have to say, this is a very US-centric perspective you're taking right now.
Yes, no, this is a very US-centric perspective. I think you can't ignore the success of Pokemon in the US economy being the largest economy in the world, at least at that time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like that is where all the big dough came in from.
I understand it's probably different for you, but I think it's just like this. I think it was just this wonderful marketing storm.
It was a perfect storm of marketing, as you say, because it just, I don't know, I think the anime came out a little bit earlier than the games here too, or vice versa. It was pretty concurrent. And the thing is, it was all of a sudden, everything was Pokemon. It happened like in 1999 in the US and in 2000 in Italy, and everything was Pokemon. Like, suddenly you couldn't go to the supermarket without everything being Pokemon, like, snacks. They were Pokemon snacks. They had little Pokemon thingies inside the box. And then, you know, Pokemon cereal, Pokemon cards, Pokemon toys, Pokemon keychains, everything was Pokemon. And it just, you could not take a step without, like, stumbling onto a Pokemon thing.
I think back to that time as well, and, like, people were just like, oh, it's going to be a fad. It's just a fad. It's going to blow through. And like, here we are now, 22 years later.
Yes.
I remember that very, very much so, being a kid and they're like just being told, oh, it's just going to be a fad. It's going to blow over. It just had such momentum that it's just never going
to
disappear.
Yeah. I have to say that I'm very glad because this is certainly not true for you guys, but for me, Pokemon was a very lonely experience.
I believe that. It's probably a lot different for you.
Yeah. I was the only person I knew who played.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking up stuff on my 56K connection.
Yeah.
Like Team Rocket pictures and stuff. And reading about these amazing games they had in Japan, like Pokemon Crystal. What is that?
I remember that. I used to get into it. I was like I was the Pokemon kid. For like the longest, well, I mean, obviously, I guess forever, but
There was no Pokemon Kid in high school in the year 2000. There was just the loser who also played Pokemon on top of all the other things, you know.
Pokemon anime launched September 7th, 1998 in the US, and then the game came out September 28th. Mm-hmm. Anime had like 3 week head start. They don't have Italian dates on it. Oh, Europe. It was probably just Europe. The game came out. Wow, you got the game like a year after we did.
October
5th, 1999.
Okay, the anime came out January 10th, 2000. So the game had like 3 months on the anime.
I forget that there used to be a lag, like a giant lag at that too.
Yeah, yeah. Ton of work going into that.
Yeah, well, because this was the first time, I think we talked about it last week, it was the first time they had like Italian translators on a Nintendo game in general.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It was
I didn't know that until you pointed it out last week.
Yeah.
Because I just never cared about, I couldn't have a Game Boy when I was a little kid. It was a bit too expensive for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was a teenager, we could actually afford one. So when I was like, okay, this anime is really cool. I want Jesse and James in my life in every episode possible. Get me Pokemon Yellow and a Game Boy.
Was that your first one? Was it Pokemon Yellow?
No, because it hadn't come out in Italy yet.
I was going to say.
It came out in like July of that year.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a honest to God toy store.
Yeah.
And we got a green Game Boy Color and Pokemon Red because that was all they had. And I was like, yeah, I hope, I know that Jesse and James are not in this one, but it's still pretty cool. Let's play it.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool.
Okay, so Linian, you're the baby.
I am the baby.
Where did you start?
I grew up in a world that didn't really not know Pokemon. Like, for me, it was always a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a really little kid, like, we're talking three-ish, maybe around there, my mom found that the easiest way to get me to, like, do chores and, you know, be a kid was to reward me with Pokemon cards because I liked the art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good reason. Who played with Pokemon cards when they were a kid? Come on. You just looked at it because they were pretty.
Yeah, so she got me packs of cards, and I kept bothering her to read them. And one day she was doing something. I'm pretty sure she was, like, washing dishes or something where she just couldn't turn away for a second. I said, what does this one say? And she's like, figure it out. So I did. I sat down. I pulled out a Rhyhorn from Jungle. Snag actually sent me one of those cards, and I have it framed in my room. And I sat down and tried to brute force the concept of reading because I knew the Pokemon's name, and I was trying to sound out the letters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got games when I was old enough to read. I was about five or so. I got Sapphire.
What was the first one? Okay, there we go.
It was Sapphire.
That's the answer. That makes sense. That sounds about right.
It was the first video game I had ever owned. I was so excited. I think I really got into Pokemon because it was something that boys my age liked. And my mom went to stores and was like, okay, these are popular. They're innocent, they're not particularly bloody or weird or anything, so it's like, yeah, no, this is something, and it was kind of handed to me in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really liked it, and I it was always something that I understood that most people would at least know of. There was never this, oh, it's that new thing. It always had existed.
Mm-mm.
And it was weird. People who didn't know anything about video games knew what Pokemon was, like among kids.
That was like when it started to hit. Like that's when it hit its like downslope.
Yeah,
I think the low point of Pokemon was Gen 3, like low in quotes. But because like a low point in Pokemon, still 16 million in sales.
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to say, only 50 million copies sold.
We only sold 16 million copies. Well, darn. We'll have to try harder next time.
I went back, and I must have been maybe like 9 or 10 when I went and played Sapphire. Not Sapphire. The Silver.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed that abilities didn't exist.
Modern Pokemon is way better than old Pokemon.
It is.
Like, in so many ways. It's really hard to go back. Like, I have the Virtual Console games, and I have them. I think that's where we leave it. Like, I will just grind through Crystal to get the Celebi.
It's weird. I don't, I don't actually have this problem. I'm playing my red Nuzlocke right now, and I'm just like, oh, okay, now we're in this mindset. I'll just settle in. Yeah, it's very, very slow, but
it's very slow.
I'm not trying to rush through it, so it's fine.
If it wasn't as slow, they do speed it up a lot in Gen 2. Gen 2 is much faster. Gen 1 is very slow. At least your walking speed's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad, but some moves are just like when you use like Rock Slide or Acid, like the animation and the sound just goes on for like 5 seconds and you're like, is this really necessary?
Yeah.
This is Acid. This isn't even Sludge Bomb.
No, it's Acid and go blue, 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 blue.
Yeah, they just take forever. Gen 2 cleaned up a lot. Like Gen 2, I totally understand them being like, this is like the penultimate Pokemon game at the time. This is like how we imagined it. And like, they're almost right. I think abilities and everything are fantastic. I think the physical special split is by far the best part because it made a lot of Pokemon good.
Fun fact, when I remember when Gen 4 came out, because I was just a silly little kid, I was reading on Serebii, and it's like, yeah, now moves are split if they deal based off your physical attack, if they make contact, or your special attack, if they use elements. And I remember being very embarrassed as a big Pokemon fan going, that wasn't the case. It was all type. What? Why is Leaf Blade special? This is dumb.
Gen 4 is like when I got into competitive. And that was like the fledgling years of competitive. Because honestly, I mean, that's probably the reason like Puckle exists too, by the way. Is because like Gen 4 came out and they're like, you can use the internet. And like that was stupid cool. I think that's probably like the biggest thing that happened in my life through Pokemon was Gen 4 connecting to the internet.
I was 10. I didn't care.
You didn't care. I cared because it was just like, because before I was like stuck in my living room battling like the same three friends. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd pull out the GameCube and we'd hook up Pokemon Colosseum or XD and then like we'd battle each other, you know, for hours. Right. We'd come up with new teams and battle each other. I still miss like having the Game Boy like hooked up to the GameCube. Be fair, Battle Revolution, way cooler.
Battle Revolution was great.
Battle Revolution's a bad game, but it's really cool for battling each other on.
Battle Revolution let you customize the phrases that you could say when you sent the Pokemon out, and that needs to come back. Forget all seals.
It lets you do a lot of crazy stuff. It was I really liked Pokemon Battle Revolution in terms of like. Like, I think it's better now that we can battle, like, straight onto the TV with Sword and Shield. I mean, that's better than what we had, which was nothing in Gen 6 and 7. Man, what would I give just to have, like, a really cool stadium simulator? Like, I'd still pay for it. Pokemon Snap 2 came out. I can dream.
Yeah.
I can dream.
I want to drop a little nugget here. Hey, guys, you know, when the first time was that I had an in-person Pokemon battle?
No.
PuckleCon.
I believe it. I believe it, actually. Because, like, especially, like, if you, where you were in your age, like, in your age bracket. Yeah. Like, it's not your fault. It's everybody else for being dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
I think it's a cool experience.
There are actually, like, two or three friends I have that were born the same year that I was. And they actually like Pokemon. They played Pokemon. I just didn't know them at the time.
Yeah.
So I guess it was my high school that sucked.
Well, I mean, it's honestly like a really like, I would say at that point, it was probably like semi-niche, like in your age group. Because when I was in high school, it wasn't cool to like Pokemon, right? Like, it wasn't cool for me, at least, like around Gen 4 time. They found out that like, I was doing a podcast and stuff in school, and they'd like razz me about it all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
Somebody tried to call me Thatch at high school once. My response was, joke on you, you listened to it. They were trying to make fun of
what
me.
What a good high school burn, you know.
Joke's on you. You listened to it. That was back when we were getting like 25 downloads. Like, you were one of those. You were one of those.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to stop. This was a fun conversation. I hope you had fun. I want to hear how everybody else got into Pokemon. That's gonna be the mailbag question this week. How did you get into Pokemon? Yeah, because it's just, I mean, it's fun just telling your story, right? I like it. All right, so we are gonna kick it on over to we're gonna take a short break, and then we're gonna kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
and welcome to the Pokemon of the Episode. Our Pokemon of the Episode this week is National Dex number 80, Slowbro, the Hermit Crab Pokemon.
And the Pokedex entries for Galarian Slowbro are both absolute fire, so I'm going to read them both. The one in Sword says, a shelter bite set off a chemical reaction with the spices inside Slowbro's body, causing Slowbro to become a poison-type Pokemon. And the Shield one, hold on to your horses, says, if this Pokemon squeezes the tongue of the shelter biting it, the shelter will launch a toxic liquid from the tip of its shell.
Ooh.
I hate that. I hate
Isn't
that a lot.
That just cursed?
It's not that the shelter's biting its hand. It's that it's got its hand around its tongue.
Exactly.
That is, I hate that. Slowbro, you're no longer my favorite. No, go away.
I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so we're talking about Galarian Slowbro today. I don't know if he's the better Slowbro, but he's a Slowbro, let me tell you.
He's not.
He's a fun Slowbro.
He's fun. He's fun. He's got a base 100 attack, base 100 special attack. I like the way they shifted his move pool around compared to how they do other Galarians typically, or like regionals. Because like they shifted it, like base Slowbro has 75 attack. Now he has 100 because they took it out of his they took some out of his defense, and they took a little bit out of his special defense too. I like it. It's cool. They made him a bit more offensive. It's really fun. Go party with Slowbro, you know. And he's poison psychic, which is like a unique typing.
Yeah.
And it's almost a good one.
So today we have a VGC team with Galarian Slowbro. I'm sure it's good. I've played like a couple of matches on it randomly. I haven't lost with it yet, but I'm not very high on the VGC ladder on Showdown. I play more VGC on cart, and I didn't put the team into the cart this week, so I just played with it on Showdown a little bit before we did it, just to get a feel for it and see if there's anything like really weird. But I will let you guys, I'll let Linian start with the Slowbro.
The Slowbro, it's got a twisted spoon because this is VGC and good items are hard to come by.
Yes.
We've got 252 HP, we've got 252 special attack, 4 speed, quiet nature, to minimize your speed, maximum your special attack, 0 speed IVs. This team isn't totally hard Trick Room, but it has the mode. Despite that, it has Quick Draw because why not? Just cheat out, go fast, hit things.
It should probably not have Quick Draw. It should probably be own tempo, but it's fine. Quick Draw is
fine. We've got Expanding Force for your Psychic Stab. There's something that sets terrain, so you know that'll be fun. It hits both enemies in a double, and with Twisted Spoon, that's going to hurt. We've got Shell Sidearm, a move that has so many weird finagly bits, it's hard to explain, other than right now it's a psychic, not psychic, it's a special poison type move.
Sometimes.
But sometimes it's not.
Yeah. It maximizes its damage output, which is nice, I guess. Like,
yeah. Bulldoze to trigger a weakness policy. I guess speed control on a Trick Room team. Cool, 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 cool. And lastly, we've got Trick Room itself. So Slowbro is your only Trick Room setter on this team, if you want to go Trick Room.
Well, the team's not all about Trick Room.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's why I said if you want to go Trick Room, you use that Slowbro.
Yeah, so it's okay.
If you don't want to go Trick Room, you have Urshifu with the Expert Belt.
It
has
good.
Unseen Fist because of course it does.
Yes.
4 HP, 252 attack, 252 speed. This doesn't say if it's Gigantamax, but, you know, make it Gigantamax. You want to smash that Max Guard.
Yeah.
Just like you should smash that like button and the bell to get notifications for Puckle's YouTube.
Yeah, you'll be able to watch P. Mickey and Claude play this team.
Yeah, use this team.
Later this week.
We've got Wicked Blow, because of course we've got Wicked Blow. It's a broken move. We've got Close Combat, because it's Close Combat. We've got Aerial Ace, purely for Max Airstream. And we've got Protect, because, you know, it still doubles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if you don't want to go Trick Room, there's an Alakazam holding a Life Orb with the ability Magic Guard. It's got Max Special Attack and Max Speed, of course. It's got a timid nature. This thing just wants to outspeed you and kill you before you can kill it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Expanding Force, Dazzling Gleam, because dark types, Focus Blast, because dark types, but sometimes you just want to hit one, maybe, and also steel types, and protect because it's doubles. And all of these users of expanding force are relying either on someone Dynamaxing and setting up psychic terrain with Max Mindstorm. I got that one.
Yes. That's correct.
I used it last night. I should remember. Or they are relying on female Indeedee. It's holding a psychic seed. It obviously has psychic surge. It has max HP, max defense, a relaxed nature with zero speed IVs because, one, she is here for the trick room if you want to go trick room, and B, in case there's someone who has a similar speed to Indeedee, you want your speed to be lower so your terrain wins if you both hit the field at the same time. We're thinking mostly of Rillaboom. She is also carrying Exploding Force, and she also has Follow Me, Helping Hand, and Reflect.
Because, all of that's really nice.
Yes. Very, very nice.
Every once in a while, you need Urshifu to, like, need that. It needs that helping hand. It needs that helping hand. Or you just start spamming Expanding Force. Your choice. It's whatever.
Exactly. Like, if you don't have a dark type in front of you, just helping hand, mm-hmm. Yelakazam, and something just goes bye-bye.
Even then, if there's a dark type that's, like, in the back on your opponent's team or something, like, say they have an Incineroar maybe in the back, you just have two Expanding Force users, and you use Expanding Force on the opposite one.
Yeah.
That way, if it gets switched in, it's just like, that's fine. One of these is going to hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great. I love that move. It's so stupid. I love that they added in moves that were specifically just to do stupid things. Like that is like the 20 moves they added were just like, they're all going to be stupid.
Yeah.
I would like to just fair warning. Reflect is wonderful for not dying to physical attackers. Crits ignore it.
Yes.
Urshifu yeah. will still crush you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it does. So Tyranitar is on this team as well, because it's a Tyranitar and you just want good Pokemon and you don't want Expanding Force spam to happen to you.
Fair.
So it's holding weakness policy, which is really cool. And it actually goes with the Slowbro if you want to use Bulldoze to activate the weakness policy. 252 HP, 252 attack, 4 special defense, Rock Slide because Rock Slide's good, Superpower, Protect, and Lash Out. I don't actually remember what Lash Out does. I never used
doubles
it.
Doubles damage if you've had your stats lower than the previous.
There game. We go. Okay.
It's works to even. Punish Intimidate.
Yep. Catch you later. Well, I guess not Incineroar, but it will. It's crazy. Its base power goes to 150 if its stats were lowered. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that.
Intimidate. So basically what happens is you get intimidated and it's yep. not so much Incineroar pays for it, so much as whoever trusted Incineroar pays
yes.
for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but also weakness policy is great too, because people trigger that all the time. Tyranitar taking super effective damage is a very standard thing.
Yeah.
And because you have a Trick Room mode, and they're just like, well, we're going to have a Trick Room mode, and we're not really ready for it with Alakazam. what should we do with that? And the answer is, why not Torkoal? And I honestly think this Torkoal is only here for Trick Room mode. I don't think it's here for any other reason. It is Trick Room Torkoal because it is zero attack. It's not min speed, but it is still not invested speed. 252 HP, 252 special attack, 4 special defense, modest, 0 IVs in attack if you want. It obviously has drought, and it's got eruption, heat wave, solar beam, and protect. It's literally just there to be a fire type if you're really scared of things that fire types are scared or weak to. So Torkoal's the odd man out on this team. Torkoal's such the odd man out on this team. He doesn't belong. He just doesn't. Just slap another Expanding Force user here.
Yeah, honestly.
Clawitzer. Get Clawitzer with Terrain Pulse.
There we go.
Ooh.
There we go.
That gets boosted by Mega Launcher. There's your trivia for the day.
We just did it. All right. But yes, that is it. If you want to watch this team, you can go over to YouTube, youtube.com/Puckle Podcast later this week to watch P. McGee and Claude try it out on the ladder. You can also, of course, use this team on the Discord server. Before that, though, we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
You got me!
Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. Our mailbag is the segment where you can send in emails to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com following that week's prompt, and we will probably read it. Last week's prompt was, I completely forget what last week's prompt was. Whimsicott, you were there. Do you remember?
Yes, it was what was something you thought about Pokemon that turned out to be wrong.
Yes, that turned out to be wrong. As always, though, this segment is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And we'll give the Green Tauros badge if Thatch remembers, and he probably will, because Whimsicott and Linian will say, well, Whimsicott will at least say something.
Yeah, you can say it. I'm the nagging one. I own it.
She'll say it. Yeah, somebody's getting the Green Tauros badge this time. All right, so our first one is going to be from Breeder Jesse this week. Hey, Puckle Crew, this is a combo of this week's topic and last week's as well. So I started playing Pokemon back with Crystal and then Fire Red, but I didn't get another Pokemon game until Sun. Wow, that is a very long time. The topic I learned about too late was breeding. During Crystal and Fire Red, I would see an egg and go, "You are worthless to me," and then place them in the eternal home of a box. Then came Sun. I understood that there was a competitive scene because of friends in college, but never understood how it worked. I finally asked them. The deal behind it was they showed me breeding and tried to explain it. Not very well, but enough. I found my true joy of Pokemon after looking into breeding. I dove deep into understanding breeding, IVs, EVs, egg moves, all of it. Fun fact, if you want spikes on Chestnut, you need Cloyster, Ammonite, and Delibird. Oh, buddy. You weren't there for Gen 6. Wideguard, Aegislash. You had to go through like 6 Pokemon. It was gross. That chain was long.
Oh.
Yeah.
They fixed it because I think they made Wideguard a move tutor in Gen 7. At this point, with my group of friends, if they need a competitive Pokemon, they ask me first to breed it and build it for them.
Mention his shiny Chestnut. You skipped the line.
I am proud of my shiny Chestnut after 1,500 eggs. That is
1,500 eggs deserves a mention.
Yeah.
My first real competitive bout was during UUTC 2020, and I surprised a few people with my Rain Team Heliolisk. I caught Whimsicott off guard with it. Did that happen?
Can you
confirm?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was like, wait... Rain?
I am not the greatest battler, but I know that breeding is super fun for me. Thanks again, Breeder Jesse. I really like his little icon picture, too. It's like a cute Pokemon egg.
With his initials on it, B and J.
That's on brand.
Super
cool. That's super on brand. I like that one. Thank you for that, Jesse. I guess this week we get a returning emailer, Bionic Why Not.
Mm-hmm. He says... Hey, Puckle people! Bionic Wynot writing in once more from sunny Florida to tell you about something I learned about way too late in my Pokemon career.
I like that it's in quotes. Careers in quotes.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? It's not in quotes. We're all in this together, guy.
Before I get started, I would like to say two things. First, remember the Green Tauros badge. Hooves!
I would like to point out that this is too early to remind me.
Exactly.
I give out the badges after we read.
I mean, he's trying. There's no, like, he can't have you read his email after you're done reading emails.
That's true.
Okay, so if you did, good. If not, you probably just did it. Second, be prepared for the possible most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. I was an idiot. Oh, I think I'm going to
I'm excited.
All right, here we go. What I learned way too late is that Pokemon can use moves that aren't their type. Wow.
What?
Yeah, this is a fun email. I've read this.
Wow. I know. Horrible. But for about a month and a half, I thought that it wasn't true. I mean, a month and a half, that's not that bad, man.
How does Squirtle use Tackle?
But it makes sense, just listen to what he says. I had a pincer with the move Guillotine. I used it, and it failed. So I assumed that, hey, maybe it just doesn't work, and left it at that. I never used a Pokemon move that wasn't of its type. Eevee with Sand Attack? Nope. Venusaur with Earthquake? Nope. Granted, I was like 8, but for some reason, in my little head, it made sense. Until I was ice-beamed by a Milotic. And then I realized, I am an idiot. Ever since I realized I was a very bad Pokemon trainer back in the day. But anyways, as much as I love talking about how dumb I am, I've got to go. So here I am, Bionic Wynote, blasting off again. This was so great.
That was great.
I love these little stories because, again, not having ever been a kid while playing Pokemon, I never had, like, my tiny child brain make up something as absurd as this, and I miss it. I wish I had. I bet my brain would have come up with some really stupid crap.
There was a lot of, like, playground stuff back then. That was the big thing. That's what you missed out on. You missed out, on the playground rumors, like... The truck and the Mew thing was, like, the big one. Like, that's obviously the big one everybody talks about. I mean, I was okay with it because I never did it myself because I'm just like, that's a lot of work. Because you'd have to, like, trade a Pokemon over that new cut and all this other stuff. It was just a headache to do.
To be fair, I did at some point gain the conviction that everyone had that if you press a certain combination of button on your Game Boy while you were trying to catch a Pokemon at the right time, it would help you catch it. Like, even I had that. I don't know where I picked it up.
I still mash B.
Yeah, I still to this day pull the control stick down and hold B.
I think it was down B or down A for me, yes.
There's no reason to. I just do it. The other ones that were really big were, like, the Poke Gods. That was a thing for a little bit. And apparently, I'm literally just quoting Dr. Lava videos now. Well, I guess it was on Did You Know Gaming. He did a Did You Know Gaming recently. There was apparently, like, a huge one in Germany that was only in Germany because of the way they translated Abracadabra and Alakazam. And so, like, they do Abracadabra, Alakazam in German. They do a straight translation. But in German, there's another name that comes after that.
Oh.
It's Bim. These kids are going around. There's a Pokegod named Bim. That's the evolution of Alakazam.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And so, like, that was, like, the biggest one. I mean, that's how most of them started. It was like, oh, you can evolve your Pokemon, like, one more time. If you beat the Elite Four 100 times in a row or something like that.
The Pokegods thing was thoroughly debunked by the time I was a kid. But the thing is, myths only change. They are not destroyed.
Yes.
I remember lying through my teeth right when Ruby and Sapphire came out, lying to other children, saying that Deoxys had other forms, and they didn't believe me. I said, nope, in another game, there's going to be a speed form.
What?
I managed to be right.
What? That's amazing!
So basically, little five-year-old Linnean is either a
You're
really
a prophet.
Lucky pathogenic liar or psychic.
You're a prophet.
So, like, with growing up with Pokemon, right? One of the things that I remember doing, it was like a short stint that Pokemon had for like 7 or 5 years or so in its existence, was they would do the, you have to go to GameStop or Toys R Us or whatever to, like, go download a Pokemon. They had, like, the distributions at those places. And I remember that started happening because, like, I was the demographic, right? I was the opening demographic. And that was also around the time that I was able to drive. I remember several times, like, me and Sycamore specifically, we would go and we would drive to, like, a GameStop and we'd go sneak in and, like, go download. We did it for Darkrai. There was a Deoxys giveaway. That's why I thought about it. And I remember there being a Deoxys giveaway. They did it, like, once every couple months, though. It was crazy.
Mm-mm.
It was just, like, random stuff. There was a Jirachi giveaway at one point. I have a lot of these distribution cards now, too.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of them. I don't know why. I don't know what we're going to do with them. It'd be something cool to do at a PuckleCon or something.
Yeah.
If there ever is one again. But it'd be really cool to do that. Like, hey, yeah, you can download the Celebi for Heart Gold. Get the event. I could do that for the playthrough we're going to do. This one's from Hitmonlee MC.
Hello, Thatch, Galarian Thatch, and Alolan Thatch.
This is possibly
my favorite
more perfect than this person realizes.
Yes, I love it.
Right?
Whimsicott is now exclusively Galarian Thatch.
Yeah, and you're Alolan Thatch.
After listening to your latest podcast, as I do every Monday morning, I went home and started watching your Black 2 Nuzlocke, and I learned something new about Pokemon from Thatch himself. You taught me that fainting does not, in fact, lower friendship as I, as many others, previously misconceived. What?
What?
No, it does.
No, it doesn't.
No, it drops it by one.
Where
it's just
that?
Like a minuscule amount that doesn't
really
matter.
Yeah, it does drop it, though.
No.
Yes.
Do I have to pull up the Serebii page?
I'm looking it up. You keep going. You keep going. I'll believe you. I need to see this myself.
Live on air, we are, yeah.
Whimsicott is not a flying type, chapter 2.
Wow. No, if it's 1 point, who cares?
Yeah, if it's 1 point, it doesn't matter, unless you sack your Pokemon against something much stronger, and then it's a bigger penalty.
I might have been thinking of a different, yeah. Okay, there it is, yeah. Fainting, well, that's Gen 5. So in Gen 5 in the game, or no, that's Gen 3, never mind. In Generation 5, fainting can drop it by minus 5 or minus 10 if the opponent is at least 30 levels higher.
Yeah, so if you send out your HM slave, they're coded to hate you more.
Wow. Wow, it does. I didn't realize that. I'm a dummy. Cool.
Uh-huh. I thought it was such a coincidence that I felt I should write in. I'm glad you did. This was powerful.
Wow, so that was wrong.
That happens, like, pretty much never, so enjoy it.
That was wrong. Cool.
So, to continue his email, because the rest of it's still interesting, I'm playing along with your Nuzlocke as I watch with my own unique challenge. I only face gym leaders with a Pokemon of their gym type.
Mm.
That's a fun way to play.
It's like Marilyn Monroe losing the Marilyn Monroe lookalike contest. That's what this feels like. My final team.
No, this is like the thing in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. No, I am the ultimate Psyduck master.
Oh my gosh. Those were dumb.
Sigma did all of them.
Yes,
and
he did.
I respect him immensely.
Yes.
My final team will consist of the four Elite Four member types, as well as trying to match one type to each of Iris's Pokemon. Thank goodness for dual types. My question for you is, do you guys play with any fun challenges other than the Nuzlocke or Whimsilocke? Thanks for all the hard work. Hitmonlee, MC.
No, well, I'm vanilla.
I guess being a gym leader is kind of a challenge like that.
That's different, though, because, like, that's not playing through the game. I do like the gym leader in Summer League, though. Well, maybe not this year as much as in the past years. Like, I have to say, like, team building in this year was, like, because we're doing 3v3 singles, we're doing Battle Stadium instead of OU, for reference for everybody who hasn't played in previous Summer Leagues. But in OU, you're playing 6v6, and, like, that's a... I like building teams for that meta more than I like building teams for BSS.
Same.
Shoot me. Like, we had a slight change into the rules for our team building, but those are always just fun little challenges. But in terms of playing the game, I'm vanilla. Like, you do Nuzlocke.
I do another thing, is that sometimes I will do a not fully evolved challenge.
Mm.
So if my Pokemon have more than one stage of evolution, they can never reach the last one.
Mm, that sucks.
Yeah, a lot.
Closest thing would be like, the first time a game comes out, like, the first playthrough, I don't use anything that I could get in a previous game.
Oh, yeah. Same.
But other than that, I don't play Pokemon for difficulty, so I don't do difficult runs.
No.
I play it because I want to zone out and click the super effective button.
Like, I need the extra narrative if I'm replaying a game that I'm just too familiar with.
Yeah.
If I'm going through Kanto for, like, the 7 billionth time, I'm gonna do a Nuzlocke.
Please no more Kanto.
I didn't even play Red and Blue, and please no Kanto.
Please no more Kanto. Like, I'm tired of Kanto. I'm so tired, Game Freak. Please stop. And then TPCI goes, but Gen 1, my friend. Everybody loves Gen 1.
Hey, it's 4 p.m. Time for your new Gen 1 Pokemon. Yes, honey.
I mean, they're not wrong. That's the sad part, right? Like, they're not wrong. Gen 1 sells, hence Charizard number 4, and inevitably Charizard number 5.
Yes.
I'm just more hurt by the fact that Charizard was the only one that was let into Sword and Shield. I'm very hurt by that.
Right?
No, I mean, it says at first. It's still stupid. It's still stupid that I had to wait until DLC to get Gigantamax versions of Venusaur and Blastoise.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That shouldn't have happened.
It was already like, oh, he gets 2 Megas, and then... Ugh.
I'm just surprised that Isle of Armor didn't give us Delta Mega Charizard or whatever.
I mean, we're already kind of getting Charizard 5 in the form of, like, Regidrago.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Regidrago.
Regidrago is going to be, is just Charizard number 5. It's fine.
Regidrago is my favorite Harry Potter OC.
You're probably not wrong. But yes, I think that, did we finish that email? Yeah, we did. Okay, cool.
We need to give out the Green Taurus badge.
I haven't moved on yet. Green Taurus badge. It's either got to be Bionic Why Not or Breeder Jesse.
I think it's got to be Bionic Why Not. I'm feeling yeah. that.
Bionic Why Not. You get it. We based this off of arbitrary feelings. There you go. Come to the Discord server and grab your Green Taurus badge. All right. But if you want to email us next week, you can email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, letting us know how you got into Pokemon. What was your first Pokemon game? How'd you get into it? Let us know. And then if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, one, just join Discord. We're all almost always there. It's a great party. It's like a party all of the time, except for like the hours between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. That's kind of like the lull. But otherwise, it's a party. And then you can come and hang out with us and talk Pokemon, just hang out, battle Pokemon, do whatever you want to do. If you want to get more news and talk to us a little bit more on social media, you can do so over on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and what's the other one? Facebook. That one. I hate Facebook. You can always help support the show by, one, checking us out on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast, watching cool battle videos or the Fire Red Nuzlocke we're doing with everybody. We're almost done. I think we're going to be able to wrap that up here near the end of the month. So watch out for that. And then we'll probably start Soul Silver / Heart Gold, one of those two. We haven't decided yet. We'll have to have the community decide, and then we'll probably go over to Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast because we screwed up. The Royal We. So it's The Fuckle Podcast, where you can watch us stream live on Thursdays. Right now I'm doing the Raid Night / Gym Battles. I'm going to start picking up Tuesdays as well to start doing a Nuzlocke to run alongside of the Nuzlocke on YouTube. And then you can also check out Draft League content over there as well. They're doing a stream on Sunday mornings that you can check out. And I think that's usually it. If you want to support the show monetarily, a couple ways to do that. One, you could just go listen to Puckle Plus. That doesn't help us monetarily, but I forgot about that part. We just put out, like, if you like Poke Quiz, we took Sigma has been doing this. He's been pulling out all of the old Poke Quiz segments from the other shows, and he started compiling them. So every month you'll start getting 4 Poke Quiz segments piled together. If you want more quiz action and you don't want to go sift through it yourself. You can, of course, support us financially in a couple different ways. First being Twitch. You can go drop a Twitch Prime subscription over there. You can go over to our TeePublic store, buy a t-shirt. You can go to Vite Ramen and use code Puckle at checkout for 10% off. Or you can just go to patreon.com/PucklePodcast, support us over there, and get all of the cool rewards that we do over there. That's everything. And so here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I am the fluffiest and oldest Flinsicus.
And I'm Baby Linian.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.